Time is 7:12. A very good morning to you. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 Chai FM. We want to hear from you. I also want to hear from you, Tanya. Tell us what is going on. What were the big stories in South Africa during the course of this week?
Well, I tell you what, state capture never leaves the charts, does it? But we've got a completely different set of charts this week from last week. It's amazing at the rate the news media and social media works.
Right.
But state capture is certainly back on top, and that's because firstly, Nhlanhla Nene testified yesterday. Did you see
that? No, I didn't. I kept meaning to.
And do then, yourself a favor and watch that testimony, because he attacks Julius Malema. So that was very fascinating. And then, of course, Tom Moyane wants to cross-examine Pravin Gordhan. And that was heard by Judge Zondo this week. A judgment is reserved on that one. See Tom Moyane in the state capture inquiry is exactly where he should be. So that made me happy, but not for very long.
Right.
And then your story.
My story.
So number two is that Eskom couldn't keep the lights on.
Oh, right. Look, I do not want to be associated with an Eskom story. That can't be good, right?
Number three on the list is that horrific Boeing 737 story. The fatal crash left Comair in a lot of hot water this week as they refused to ground the planes, but eventually bowed out to social media pressure. And this is the thing, like, we have a voice now. The community has a voice. South Africans have a voice. The world has a voice. And it's called social media. And it can destroy a brand if you don't do what social media thinks is just. So within literally hours, Comair grounded the aircraft after the social media backlash. And then...
At least they did that, though, you know, because... look, they would have had to eventually, because the whole world actually banned them. Even Boeing recalled them at some point.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, when you look at the whole world doing it and then you still flying, like, how mercenary are you?
Absolutely.
And that's what social media
was
saying. What on earth happened with Faith Mazibuko and the Combi Court?
My word.
We didn't even know what Combi Court was.
I was just going to say, I thought maybe I was just being an ignorant white person.
No, you weren't.
And she was
your
Combi Court.
You had never heard of Combi Courts until Faith Mazibuko ranted and ranted and ranted about them. The social media is so funny, though, Howard. We put together taxi courts, where that's what we thought they were, where taxis had...
I also thought it would be taxi courts.
I thought it's a clever idea. Basically, it's mobile justice.
That's exactly what social media thought.
I thought, you know...
Either that it's to only deal with taxi issues, or that it's a mobile court that runs around and deals with issues. And I also thought, oh, that's quite clever.
I actually thought it's clever. I think it's bringing justice to the people. No, people can't, not everyone's got access to justice, so go out to these far places, hear the cases, move on, get into your combi and off you go. But apparently I was totally wrong.
So it turns out combi courts are the courts in school, the courtyard in schools for sport.
Yes.
So I think it's probably got to do with the fact that we secured the Netball World Cup. What do you think of that, Howard?
Yes, I'm sure it's because of that.
You don't care, do you?
No, not really, no. But I do know, I did follow the story, by the way, that we did secure the Netball World
Cup. I don't think most of South Africa cares about netball. Sorry, netballers out there, but I don't think we really care. But anyway, so she went off on this enormous rant at a staff meeting where she called everybody in and somebody recorded it. And she was, wow, she was outrageous, firstly, but secondly, she was really racist. She said to the white employee and the Indian employee, nobody hires whites and Indian people anymore. You should be grateful to me for empowering you in this position. And I don't care if you have to fly or make magic.
Make magic.
Make magic. A magic carpet ride. Yeah, wow.
So Faith Mazibuko comes in as the fourth largest story and certainly doing no favors for what she said. We have to win the election. So that didn't work.
Right.
In fact, it's quite in the reverse. And then FNB, good heavens, turns out they're giving increased interest rates to anybody who's not white. Up to 30% more than
Is
than
this
white
true?
People.
Because I saw it a couple of places on social media and I thought, oh, fake news, and I carried on.
No, no, not fake news at all. It was actually published. The story was broken by media houses, not social media.
Right.
And then they've got recordings of employees at
Is it for loans or savings?
It's
no.
Say again.
Is it for loans? Oh, because I was like, if it's savings, then I'm there.
Oh, oh then you don't mind a bit of racism.
You need the money. No, 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 no.
That's nutty. That's awful. That's terrible of you.
It turns out that if you want a home loan or a private loan and you're not white, you end up paying up to 30% more. And that is a fact. And the employees of FNB started to come out and verify this particular story, and it's put FNB as the fifth largest story this week, over and above their competitor Standard Bank, who shut down 91 branches overnight.
Right, so, but that was yesterday, so that probably doesn't have
in a lot
time.
Of trouble.
Yeah, yeah. I'd imagine that's not such a big story yet, only because it happened yesterday, the Standard Bank story.
Well, it's over 7 days, so how big must it be to impact on a 7-day analysis?
Yeah, exactly.
It's very, very big.
Absolutely. Wow, that is incredible.
And then, oh, Howard, and I've had so many arguments this week about these stories. AfriForum. I'm dying to talk to you. Please,
just don't know what is going on.
Balance me here.
I can't because I don't understand why they're taking on the cases that they are taking on. I don't understand what their strategy is. I don't understand why they want to paint themselves as the organization that they are painting themselves as. Why are they choosing this? I actually need to have a conversation with somebody there because I feel like I have to be missing something.
I don't get it. I mean, if it wasn't like, firstly, the Sunflower murder story. I mean, why on earth would you defend people who killed the child? That's number one. And if it is because they're Afrikaans.
But that's not good
why
enough.
Why aren't you busy with Jason Ritter then?
Yeah.
Why is it only when Afrikaans people do stuff to black people that you get involved? Not when they do stuff to white people?
You know, there's something very, very wrong with what's going on there. And I'm going to ask Lindy to see if we can't get hold of somebody from AfriForum and have an interview, because I feel like I'm missing something. I have to be missing something.
Well, it gets worse. Did you see that they released the Favut documentary?
Oh, no.
Romanticizing Favut's ideology and apartheid.
Well, then that says it all then, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? And surely it can't be allowed?
Well,
Should there be something in our constitution that says, well, you're not allowed to romanticize apartheid by releasing documentaries?
Well, I would think so. And just to tell you, Tanya, Germany, after the Second World War, enacted incredibly strict laws about, even today, Holocaust denial is a criminal offense in Germany. And I don't think there's anything wrong with us going this sort of a route here in South Africa to eradicate this kind of stupidity.
You know, Germany is such a perfect example, because look at them now. They're educated about what their forefathers 100%, did.
100%.
There's not one German school that doesn't teach exactly what happened. And we're not doing that. So,
no, we're
and
not.
People like AfriForum, who I just can't understand. I mean, many people said to me, yeah, Tanya, you're wrong, because it's, they're building their brand.
But what's the brand?
Building what brand?
Yeah, what is the brand? I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. I always say, you know, when I go to Berlin, happens to be one of my favorite cities in the world. And the reason that it is because it is a city that deals with its past. It doesn't deny its past. It integrated its past into its future. And it's a city where they just have dealt with what they've been through. They've dealt with the past. I find it absolutely fascinating. You know, you get these little, and there's a special name for it, and I can't remember it offhand, a little brass name thing which you'll see at the entrance, let's say, to a shop. If a Jewish family lived there and was removed there, they've integrated their past into the city today. And as a result of it, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal city and an exciting city to be. But you have to be able to deal with it and to talk to, I just just don't know. I can't understand what the approach is in South Africa. We've got a past. We've got a very, very ugly past. And if we don't accept it and if we don't deal with it, then how on earth are we ever going to move forward?
Well, I mean, I think AfriForum particularly, all they do is make white people look bad.
It's true. You know? Or take bad-looking white people and defend them.
If that's the brand building, China, you're taking my brand too. And I say no. No, you're not allowed to do that, you know? Anyway, so that kept me exasperated all week. Then Panyaza Lesufi, we spoke about him earlier.
Yeah.
Made headlines across the country this week. And that's because of these horrific school stories. I see now Becky Klele about an hour ago he was in an interview saying that there needs to be cooperation between the schools, the police and the parents on how to keep the school safe. We've never had this problem. I mean, in America, we hear these horror stories about people being, children bringing weapons into school, etc. But we never hear about that in South Africa.
No.
And it seems, it's almost, you know, I don't know if you remember years ago, I was still a kid at the time, where teen suicide was a big thing in America. And they made it public and it was headlines and it became bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm thinking perhaps that's what's happened here is with those couple of armed robberies that happened a month or so back, it's since then that we've seen this enormous uprising in school horror. And maybe it's because people, the crooks out there have realized that school's a soft target. I don't know, but it's certainly worrying for the state of our schooling in this country and protecting the very dearest of our communities.
Absolutely. Time is 7:23. We need to just put a hold on it right there. What did you just find? What?
There's another one. Another whites-only town.
There's another right here. There's Eureka.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Listen, I don't think that's a bad idea. Like, I've been toying with this idea, okay?
Which idea? I'm scared, Tanya. Say again?
Don't be scared. Don't ever be scared, Howard. Be brave, be brave. There's no safe space here.
Right, true.
So, if we South Africans that are tired of all the nonsense around us with this racism and election rubbish and load shedding and all of this. If there are a group of South Africans that say, you know what, we're going to sort it out ourselves and we all come together. I am in. Not a Eureka because it's a white place. I want a South African place, South Africans place where we can be safe. We can look after ourselves.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. I think they're called. I think they're called gated communities. I think Doe Staines built one. listen. If I often think about that. You know, we have private medical care. We've got our own security. We've got generators, and certainly people. A lot of people have got boreholes. I mean, we're basically off the grid.
Exactly. Let's get off the grid. Mm-hmm. Let's do our own currency story. Let's come together in with one goal in mind that we love and care for each other.
And
nobody's allowed in. If you break those rules and you don't love and care for somebody,
exactly.
Sorry, goodbye.
Absolutely. One racist rant and you're gone. Castavenolos. All right. So Tony, before I let you go, because we've only got 3 minutes left, tell me about the reaction to the ANC's list, their list that they put out, that include people like Malusi Gigaba.
Well, certainly we've had a look at the entire elections and how the parties are faring. Malusi Gigaba, Nomvula Mokonyane and others definitely, I mean, even David Mabuza to a certain degree doesn't make us happy at all. But what is interesting is that, the ANC are right at the very top. Okay, when you have a look at the statistics, over a month period, 46.3% of the media coverage and social media conversation surrounds the ANC, 24.1% to the DA, 16.6% to the EFF. And then the only other contender is COPE, coming in at 6.3%, but all of that is negative. So when we have a look at the sentiment of the parties, even though, even with the ANC list, ANC still comes up with a net sentiment of minus 25, being the biggest in comparison to the DA's minus 31 and the EFF's minus 42. Oh. So we may be talking, but we don't like them very much. But this, more than anything, this is what fascinated me. When you look at the political heads or big political personalities in the media space, Cyril Ramaphosa, there seems to be almost a schizophrenicness about our relationship with the ANC. There's President Ramaphosa on the one side and then the ANC. We absolutely love President Ramaphosa. His net sentiment, he garners 42.8% of the conversation and comes in with a positive net sentiment ranking, which is unheard of for a politician. It's 0.18%, but it is positive, okay? But the second largest political personality on the charts is, dun, 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 Jacob Zuma.
What?
Yes.
I would not have called that.
17.4%. He is bigger than Julius Malema, who is at 12.1, and bigger than Musi Maimane, who is at 10.4, bigger than Helen Zille, who is at 7.
Oh, my word. All right.
So Mshilozi is there because, number one, we keep referring to the past regime. Number two, because he has a social media presence, and as much as we might hate it, people love it. In fact, he's been called Ubaba by many social media people, and people say they miss him. I don't understand what's wrong with us.
No, I actually don't either. It makes me so angry when I see him tweeting, and I do follow him, but it just makes me mad because we're in the position that we're in because of his because of his corruption, because of what he allowed and what he created. Unfortunately, Tanya Kruger, we do have to leave it there. It is 7:45. You have a fantastic weekend. Thank you, as always, for your awesome input. And Tanya, I see you are doing unbelievable work on the elections. Just go and follow Tanya. This is Tanya. It's Acumen Media. Go and follow them because they are doing the most unbelievable research around the elections. If you really want to know what's going on, that is your address. So Tanya, go, keep doing what you're doing. It is absolutely amazing. Time is 7:46.